because I believe a man is supposed to take care of his woman. I don't care how much money your woman make. A man is supposed to have his mind set on taking care of his woman.
Let's talk. I mean, this, you know, this may be a bit crude, but I mean, I don't know no other way to say it. I want to talk about booty calls. Good evening. Good evening, everybody. I hope that you're doing well. Hope everybody's safe. And hopefully you are sound. I'm R.C. Blakes. If this is your first time tuning into my channel, I'm R.C. Blakes. I'm a pastor. I'm an author. I'm a man. And I have a lot of opinions. And I usually share them. I don't share all of my opinions, but I usually share them. I won't be long today because I'm hot sitting by this window. But I didn't feel like getting up to go anywhere else. Just kind of launching off of our conversation that we started on yesterday relative to soul ties, there are some other thoughts that I had that I did not explore. And of course, you know, this is a subject that to some extent becomes repetitive. But it's the kind of repetition that is necessary because so many people are just waking up to certain realities when it comes down to toxic relationships. And when people awaken to the fact that maybe they've been duped or deceived and maybe what they thought they had in terms of a relationship was not real, they need to hear this message. And so it's necessary to continue to talk about it, at least when I'm inspired to do so. Well, especially when I'm inspired to do so. There are four things I want to give you tonight, and then I'll be done. And I call these necessities. These things are mandatory when it boils down to breaking a soul tie. And number one is you have to, first of all, when you're breaking a soul tie relationship, the first thing you have to do is you have to take ownership of your ears. You have to take ownership of your ears. In other words, you have to block or break the control by blocking access to your ears. Because words, you have to understand, are spiritual. Even Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Words are spiritual. And the bait, and listen to that word, the bait, not the bait, but the bait that continues to draw you into the net or the trap of this soul tie, the bait is words. You know, have you ever noticed how you can have your mind completely made up that you're done with this? This disagrees with your fundamental beliefs. This disagrees with your inner constitution. This disagrees. Thank you, Tammy. This disagrees with your destiny and future. You know that you can't even go to where you're supposed to go, being tied down to this person, tied down to this person. And as soon as you answer that phone and you allow this individual to use those words, it's like a hypnotism. It's like this individual can use his or her words and get you to reject everything you just spent the last day and a half building yourself up to do. Because words, you are manipulated through words. And if you realize this, if you know, once you realize this, that you are being manipulated and managed through words, then the wise thing to do is to block access to your ears. And this is where, you know, we come to the point of making the very practical decisions, like, you know, changing phone numbers, blocking people on social media. Thank you, Nicole. Words. In the book, in my book, The Father-Daughter Talk, I talk about how the man deceives the woman. And the first step is that he uses calculated conversation. He uses words. How does the narcissistic woman deceive the man? She uses words. She tells him the stuff he wants to hear, and then she, you know, does a little physical act for him. But you have to break the control by blocking access to your ears. As long as this person has access to speak words into your life, they will always steer your life remotely through their words. And the thing about a soul tie relationship is that, and listen to this very carefully, and some of you may relate to this, with a soul tie relationship in this age of social media, the words don't always have to be heard. Sometimes the person may manipulate you through words written. And there are many of you that are on here now that can testify that you've been managed and controlled and manipulated by your soul tie relationship through Facebook postings or through certain words spoken on Instagram. Though it's not addressed to you, it addresses you. Thank you, Shari. Words are powerful. And so the first step, first necessity is that you have to stop granting access to your ears. You have to realize that you're not strong enough. You're not, okay is a better word. You're not healthy enough to listen to this individual. And when you become healthy, you will then realize that this person never even deserved an audience. The only reason you're granting this person access is because you're unhealthy, and they know you're unhealthy. And they're perpetuating your condition. When you become healthy enough to actually listen to this individual and hear them for what they are and make a proper assessment of their worthiness, it's then that you'll realize that this person never did deserve an audience with you. But listen to what the word says in James 5:6. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now, he's talking about the danger of the tongue, but inside, capsulized inside of this text, it is also indirectly talking about the danger of words. A person can use their words and hold you captive. And then the first thing they'll say is, I ain't make you stay, but let me show you something. In Proverbs 7:21-22 says, with her much fair speech, this woman is taking this little green man and she's coercing him and she's seducing him. And listen to what the Bible says. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Thank you, Leslie. With her what? Much fair speech, she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips. Watch this. Listen to the language. She forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. But with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Have you ever been in that situation before where you felt like you didn't have a choice? because a person used certain words, it was as if they robbed you of your capacity to choose. And you would continue to make certain decisions. Thank you, Kimberly. You would continue to make certain decisions. And the first thing you would say to anybody that would try to hold you accountable, I don't know why I did that. I knew better. I don't know why I did that. It's because words are some of the most manipulative forces, thank you, Shar, on the planet. The most dangerous thing you can give a person is a microphone and a camera. And we walk around with that 24/7. So if you're going to effectively break this soul tie, you're going to have to, first of all, block the access to your ears. And I know a part of you, the sick part of you, wants to hear from this individual. The sick part of you is constantly checking to see if this person called for you, if this person texted you. But I'm calling on now the part of you that desires to be free, that will break this access you've granted to your ears, because your ears are what? Gateway to your soul. You can't get your mind right if you keep the wrong stuff in your ears. You can't get your mind right if you keep the wrong stuff in your ears and the first thing they want to talk to you about. Now, I'm just trying to show you how the game doesn't change and how all of this stuff is calculated. And while you think you sit in there and you think that it's sincere and you know, you got a relationship, all you got is a situationship. First thing they won't talk to you about every time they get you on the phone, how you doing? I was thinking about you all day. And then they want to turn the conversation sexual. Why is that? They want to stir up that lust in you. Because lust is the engine that drives. Thank you, Teresa. Lust is the engine that drives this dysfunctional, diabolical bondage that you find yourself in, and you call it love. It's words. So you need to, you know, while you're sitting there watching this on the computer, on your pad or whatever, you need to block that individual right now. Right now. It ain't no love here. There's nothing you can do to fix this person. This is not going to be the man of your dreams. This is not going to be your queen. This is a joke. And you're the butt of the joke. You have to accept it for what it is. And now you got to stop granting this person access to your ears. Because your ears and your eyes are gateway to your soul. It's what you're looking at and what you're listening to that's keeping you stuck where you are. Now, y'all said you wanted me to talk straight with you. I'm talking straight with you. I don't care how much time you've put in this. I don't care that you've, engaged in sex and you gave this individual your virginity and you broke your vows of abstinence. I don't care nothing about that. You're not helping. You're not making it right by perpetuating a situation. What you need to do at this point is repent for what has happened. And repent means to turn around and go in a more fruitful direction. Let God forgive you for all of that stuff and live your life in the right direction, the right way. I don't want to hear, well, it's been so much time. Man, don't nobody care about how much. It's not how much time you've spent before you knew better. It's how much time are you going to spend after learning better. Are you going to waste the rest of your life with a fruitless situation? And every time I don't want you no more. I don't want it no more. And then they get you on the phone and they talk all of that talk to you. You know the talk they use on you. And then there you go. Come on over. Come on over. All right, number two. You have to, not only must you block the access to your ears, but number one leads into number two. You're going to have to break the physical addiction to the sex, because most soul tie relationships involve a whole lot of illegal and perverted sex. And I tell you all the time, the perversion of the sexual act is intentional. The farther they push you away from your limits, the more you lose yourself and the more control they have over you. Every time you compromise a sexual standard, you're losing yourself to this individual. Every time. And what's going on is you're giving them more and more control over your soul, and you're viewing yourself, you're diminishing, your self-perspective is being diminished constantly. Thank you, Eugene. Your self-perspective is being diminished constantly. And another thing that's happening when you're involved in the sexual act, you're giving them control over your soul, your self-perspective, your self-estimation is being diminished. And then thirdly, it becomes more and more difficult for you to believe that God wants anything to do with you. That's what sexual perversion does to us. It makes us believe the lie that God wants nothing to do with us. It makes us devalue and depreciate in our self-assessment, and it gives another person control over our souls even when we don't realize that we're being remotely controlled through sex. And so somehow you have to break the physical addiction by curbing the sexual impulses. See, because you can make the decision, I'm going no contact, and you know, I'm blocking you. I'm not gonna let you have access to my ears and all that. But see, late in the midnight hour, your body gonna be calling for some things. And this is a part of the pain of destroying soul ties. Your body gonna be calling for some things. You're late in the midnight hour, your body is gonna be calling for some things. And while your soul is saying, while your spirit is saying, no, we're going in a different direction, your body is quivering, and now your soul is caught in the middle between your spirit and your flesh. And your soul is like, no, we can't let them come back in here. And then your soul is like, maybe so, maybe one more time. One for the road. And one for the road turns into another 18 months of your life. I see the blessed something. Thank you. See? Now, that's just the reality. You're going to have to do what's necessary to break the physical addiction to the sex. Nobody won't talk about sex. And I don't know why preachers are so scared to talk about sex when all these folk in these churches having all this sex. I just don't get it. I don't understand how in the world we say God invented this and God has rules for this. And then as preachers, we scared to talk about sex. I just don't get it. It is mandatory that we talk about sex, and folk get uncomfortable with hearing a preacher talk about it, but you just got to be uncomfortable. Because before I was a preacher, I was a man. Before I knew the Bible, I knew how to have sex. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. Now watch this. You can't break sexual impulses in your body. You cannot break sexual impulses in your body or in your flesh, because the body wants what it wants. So it's not like you can say, well, I'm just going to abstain and, I'm just going to go cold turkey. Well, that's a part of it. Having that mindset is a part of it. But you got to also know that you're going to have something to support that. It's kind of like very few people kick the habit to drugs without some kind of support system. They got to have a sponsor, they got to have some kind of program. You know, very few people can just say, well, I'm going to will myself free of drugs. Very few people do that. And likewise, when you start talking about breaking the addiction to the sex of the soul tie, there are two things that I've outlined here. You break the physical addiction in the mind and the spirit. When there's a physical addiction, you break it in the what? The mind and the spirit. Yeah. You cannot break it in your flesh. You break it in the mind and the spirit. Look what the Bible says. Here's letter A. The mind must be, when you start talking about breaking the addiction, the sexual addiction to this soul tie, the mind must be preoccupied with something meaningful and righteous to distract the flesh. This is why the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't have an idea of a preferred future, in other words, where you want to go, you'll always be preoccupied with the impulses of the flesh. It's when you get a vision for your life and you can say with certainty, this is where I'm going and this is what I need to do to get there, that the preoccupation of your mind with things that are meaningful and righteous begins to distract your, the impulses of your flesh. But if you ain't got nothing on your mind, you're going to always yield to your flesh. So when you're breaking a soul tie, what has to happen simultaneously, as you're putting this person out of your life, you need to replace this person with personal goals and vision. You need to, now you don't need another relationship because you ain't healthy enough for another relationship. We talked about that yesterday, about how breaking soul ties is similar to recovering from corona. You still coughing, you know, you still got fever and you out here talking about another relationship. You too sick to be in another relationship. You're going to hurt somebody else. What you need is isolation. And in the process of that isolation, you need to preoccupy your mind with a righteous and meaningful agenda. What is my goal? What am I going to accomplish? What am I going to apply myself to? And I mean, you have to really completely and totally busy yourself. And the marker is going to be, hello, Michelle. The marker is going to be that when you accomplish your first meaningful task, it's going to create such a, a pride, a healthy sense of pride in you that now your soul is going to begin to turn and shift from the things that it's usually drawn to. And now it's going to begin to shift to, okay, if I can accomplish goal number one, I can accomplish goal number two. Or I can accomplish goal number three. You see, but the mind must be preoccupied. Listen to what 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16 says. Says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the, watch this, former lust in your ignorance. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation really translates as lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So he says, gird up the loins of your mind and stop, you know, yielding to the former lust that you had in your ignorance when you didn't know any better. And the only way to do that is to lock your mind down, focus your mind on something righteous and meaningful, as opposed to a clown in a crown. I don't care how many robes you buy for this joker. I don't care how much you polish that crown. I don't care what kind of throne you have made for him. You cannot turn a clown into a king. You cannot turn a clown into a queen. And the way you begin to break this sexual addiction is that you have to gird up the loins of your mind. Letter B, and I'll move on so I won't be so long today. The spirit must be filled, your spirit must be filled with the Holy Spirit to reinforce the mind. Remember, I just talked about how the flesh wants what it wants, and it's having all of these withdrawals, and it's having all of this, and then your soul is in the middle, and then you have your spirit that's connected to God. But when we say filled with the Spirit, we literally mean, that literally means controlled by the Spirit. When you yield your life, when you submit your life totally and entirely to the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit, good God Almighty, it is then that the Holy Spirit works from within you, and the Holy Spirit empowers you to overcome the impulses of the flesh. That's what happened with me when I keep telling you my testimony. I was a young man. The Lord brought me into a time of consecration. I didn't even realize what was going on. 2.5 days later, man, I got up off of the floor, laying before the Lord, and all of that sexual addiction I had, all of those soul ties I had, were broken by the presence of the Holy Spirit. There are some things you cannot accomplish on your own, nor can you accomplish them within your flesh or by your own power. You're going to have what? The infilling of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what the Bible says in Romans 8, 4 through 7. He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity. That word simply means at war. The carnal mind is enmity or at war against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you're going to have to break the physical addiction to the sex by preoccupying the mind on something. Maybe I should flip these. Maybe we should talk about yielding to the Holy Spirit first, and then the Holy Spirit then empowers the mind to focus on something meaningful and righteous. And then you begin to what? You begin to dismantle that addiction that you've had to the sexual activity. It's really an addiction to perversion. Okay, here's an illustration for point number two, breaking the physical addiction by, setting the mind and yielding to the Spirit. Here's a mental picture the Holy Spirit gave me. It's kind of like, when you're breaking the soul tie, it's kind of like, your flesh, watch this. It's kind of like your flesh and your soul tie are in conjunction. They work together and they're on one side. And then it's kind of like you on this side and it's a tug of war and it's you working against them. Your soul, your mind is weak. Your flesh is completely complicit. It wants to be drugged out. And then it's like, so you got your flesh that's really working against you. Your flesh is really on the opposite team side. You got your soul that's weak, and you have not engaged your spirit. So it's like when you engage your spirit and you invite the Holy Spirit to come in, dun, 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 dun. It's like the Holy Ghost comes in and he infuses your soul and your spirit, and the Holy Spirit and your soul take authority over your flesh. And what was a struggle to overcome, now because you have the proper backing. All right. Number three, you got to restore your soul or your mind by accepting God's forgiveness. You got to restore. Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate you all. You have to restore your soul by accepting God's forgiveness. See, because number one, we said you got to stop, you got to block access to your ears. Number two, break the addiction to the sex. But now number three, once you've done the first two, you still have to deal with number three, because you've blocked the access, you've broken the sexual addiction, you've gone no contact from this individual. But now watch this, your soul is still broken. Because there's a part of you, watch this, there's a part of you that is disappointed that you allow this individual to deceive you. There's a part of you that is broken because you broke the heart of God, or you disappointed your parents, or you disappointed your Christian ethic, or whatever your, you know, your standards are. And so when you're done with, you know, breaking the addictions to this, and you've been without this individual, and you've broken free from this individual on that level, you still have to deal with the brokenness within you. Because in many cases, you're still struggling to be able to see yourself like God sees you. Now, one of the links in the chain that binds is self-condemnation. Is there anybody on here that can testify to that? One of the links in the chain that binds is self-condemnation. It's when you keep looking in the mirror and you keep condemning yourself for having been human and having made mistakes. And especially when you're around a lot of false, self-righteous Christians or religious people who've never made a mistake, who've never failed, and they're just liars. And you struggle with this self-condemnation, so it's hard for you to see yourself a certain way. And you know what happens? You know what happens when if you don't restore your soul? What happens is you cannot see yourself as being deserving of better than the clown in the crown. And so though you've gotten rid of that one, you will move forward and you will attract another one, because subconsciously you don't believe you deserve better than that. It's your way of punishing yourself for what you did wrong. You don't even realize you're doing it. You say, why do I keep getting these kind? Because that is what your subconscious, your spirit man is programmed. Your soul has been programmed to believe you deserve. You always pursue and acquire what you deserve, what you believe you deserve, even if that's far beneath what you really do deserve. So self-condemnation is driven by the subconscious idea that God condemns. And it leaves you stuck in a psychological place of unworthiness. In Romans 8:1, he says, there's therefore now, I love this right here, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, watch this, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. All God requires from you is to change. Honestly, you know, once you say, God, I'm done with this, I need your help, and God steps into your life and he empowers you to break out of this thing and you change. Bae, let me tell you something. Changing the direction of your life is more, thank you, Arthur, changing the direction of your life is more repentance than somebody that's using a whole lot of empty words. Because you can be sorry without being repentant. You can use the words without ever changing your life. The biggest sign of repentance is when you change your life. So he says there's no condemnation to those who are no longer walking after their flesh, but are now yielding to the Spirit. Once you invited God to step into this situation and to help you and to empower you, and you submitted to that, God washed all of that stuff away, man. God has been, why are you holding on to what God has forgotten? And the devil keeps playing these games with your mind about what you did and all the details of some of the stuff you did. And I can't believe you did that. And the devil brings you through all of that because he understands that condemnation is the glue that binds you to a past you're trying to escape. When you can walk out and you can say, man, listen, yeah, I did all of that. I did all of that. I made all of those mistakes. I've brought them before God. I've repented. I've changed my life. And I'm not ashamed about the journey I've taken to get to where I am. It's then that all of that stuff becomes power. That's why I don't have a problem sharing with you my testimony. There was a time I felt, you know, shame and felt guilty. The religious people were making me feel so small, you know. He had a child at 15 years old. He's the pastor's son, and he in here doing all of that. And that condemnation that they heaped upon me only drove me deeper and deeper into that lifestyle. But Lord, when I got free and I really got my connection right with God and I realized that God did not condemn me, but that God loved me and God accepted me, come on now. Man, I was able to face the world and give them the whole truth and nothing but the truth concerning me and did not care one lick about what they thought about it. I'm not searching for anybody's approval because my soul is restored. Now, number four, and then I'm done. You got to renew your self-respect by officially denouncing this relationship. You have to renew your self-respect by officially, these are four necessities, and I'm sure I can add to it, but I know you got to do these four things. You're going to have to renew your self-respect by officially denouncing this relationship or this situationship. You know, you don't need to worry about saving face. You don't need to worry about what the people going to think at the job or at the church. No, we are not together. No, it ain't your business. No, we are not together. I don't care what he told you, what she told you. We are not together. I don't have anything to do with this individual. That's my past. I'm not driving in reverse. I got my life set on D. I'm moving forward. We are not together. We have nothing to do with one another. You got to call it what it is. And you have to denounce this thing, you know. You got to denounce it. And when the Lord brings you to a certain level, you got to be willing to give your testimony to those that need to hear it. A lot of cases, it's just going to be one-on-one. People that you see moving in the same direction that you come from, but you can't give that testimony until you denounce this. You got to denounce this. And any kind of relationship like it. And the Bible says in James 4, 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So when you submit to God, your hands are cleansed and you purify your heart. You purge your heart, in other words, of all of the residue. Thank you, Purple Hearts. Thank you so much. So you got to renounce this. Yeah. And you have to be willing to look this individual in the eye and tell them, no. Well, nothing to do with you, buddy. Ease on down the road because there's no more room in this inn for you. I'm done with this. I've done my due time with clowns and crowns. I'm finished. Finito, you out of here. And you watch God. See, sometimes the heart has to break for the soul to heal. And so this sun is wearing me out. I don't know why I chose this spot to sit in, but this sun is wearing me out. I'm so hot right now. But I wanted to just give that to you because it was on my heart, and I'm not certain that I'll be talking to you this weekend. A lot going on this weekend relative to ministry, but I wanted to just share that with you. Now, Father, I thank you for the revelation. I thank you for just giving me the awareness to even deal with this subject. I had no idea that so many people were struggling with this. And now, God, I pray that you would allow my words to plant in the hearts of your people. Yeah. Allow these words to plant and allow them to become life to them. Some, dear God, who feel like they're in a hopeless situation, I thank you now, Father, for giving them peace and rest and hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I love you all. I love you with all of my heart. And I was just thinking about you and wanted to chime in today. I know it's at a weird time, but Lisa and I are going to just take a ride. You know, I never believed that just riding would be so refreshing. We're just going to take a ride. And so I didn't know if I would be back in time tonight. So I wanted to break in and share this with you today. Now, listen, don't forget to go by, is it Melco? I hope I'm saying that right. I know I mess up a lot of your names. I apologize, but thank you so much. Don't forget to go by rcblakes.com and check out my online program centered around this theme, Soul Ties, Breaking the Ties That Bind. It's 8 sessions. And for those of you that are struggling with this, I think it'll be beneficial. I think that conversation, being able to go back through the 8 sessions and go back and look at, re-listen to, take notes or whatever, I think it'll be greatly beneficial to you. So it's there at rcblakes.com. You can get it now, actually, immediately. So I love you. I thank God for you. And hey, you never know. I'm stuck in the house, so you may hear from me again. All right? I love you, and thanks to all of you. Thanks to all of you that sowed into my life today. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. God bless you. I love you. Have a great evening. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.